What's up, everybody? It's your boy George Carmi from Full Press Commanders. We're talking the Cleveland Browns and the Washington Commanders in this New Year's Eve matchup. Let's get it on. What's up, everybody? Thank you for joining us on this lovely Thursday evening right before our Thursday night football game. I'm joined by Jeff Lloyd from the Locked On Browns podcast. How are you doing today, Jeff?
We're good. Good. Obviously, getting to the grind here, the end here of another NFL season. Some teams, obviously, the story has been written as far as, you know, what is left of their 2022 season. Obviously, for others, still up in play before we get to, you know, what is always, you know, I don't think there's anything like the NFL playoff run in any other sports.
So much fun, so, right?
Absolutely. You know, and you always get a little, you know, you always get a darling out of nowhere. You know, Cincinnati Bengals going to the Super Bowl last year. Always good time of year.
Funny question, actually. I didn't mean to, you know, even think about this question ahead of time, but what's the Browns-Bengals dynamic? Do you guys tend to root for the Bengals at all, or is this like a hatred between you guys because it's still Ohio together?
Nobody in the AFC nor likes anybody else. Nobody in the it would definitely be an every man for themselves. No, it does not work like that.
I got you. That's what I figured. All right, good stuff. All right, Jeff. So obviously we have a huge matchup coming up this Sunday. Huge for Washington. They need to win two in a row to get to the playoffs, actually. Cleveland's kind of a frisky team. We don't really know what to expect with them coming up. They had the biggest trade in the offseason, in my opinion, Deshaun Watson coming over to Cleveland. Definitely has changed the dynamic for that team. How has his return affected the team, both on and off the field?
It was always just weird because you knew there was some sort of suspension coming. So you were getting this dynamic of, you know, basically two seasons blended in. One, there was going to be the pre-Deshaun on, and would the pre-Deshaun be good enough that even the post-Deshaun, even is what 2022 was going to bring. Obviously, Browns underachieved 4-7. They played better probably than a 4-7 football team. Their defense certainly. But the main aspect of this here and bringing Deshaun in, you have Myles Garrett who just turned 27 years old. You have Nick Chubb who just turned 27 years old. Deshaun Watson is 27 years old. David Njoku, 27 years old. This team was trying to put together a nucleus for a 3-5, you know, season run, understanding that most likely 2022 was going to probably be a wash.
Okay.
And Deshaun's first game with Houston, obviously a difficult one. The second game in Cincinnati was a little bit, you know, was certainly going to be harder than Houston. Not many people were at the game. Cincinnati's a lot more of a rival. Either they were going to get on Deshaun, they were going to speak their mind. He got his two home games on against. Obviously the Baltimore Ravens and then the disappointing loss on Christmas Eve. A lot of people, you know, everything just overly critical, you know, why are they throwing the ball this much, this, that, and the other thing. You paid $238 million for quarterback and gave up three first round picks. Your offense is no longer a running team. Your offense is now based on Deshaun Watson. And we saw other quarterbacks play in terrible weather over the weekend with a lot of success. Joe Burrow completed 40 passes. Josh Allen in Chicago, nothing stopped him from doing his thing on Saturday. So for the Browns, it's all about Deshaun Watson. You know, you want to get as much out of him you can in these last two games here, get all the rust off of him so you can just work on setting up, you know, what's here. So when you start OTAs and you go into training camp, there is no, you know, there's nothing holding it. Everything will be there and everything will be put upon the shoulders of Deshaun and all these young stars that they have on this roster to hopefully go out and, you know, put together what ultimately is the goal for any NFL team competing for a Super Bowl.
Yeah, that makes sense. You know, obviously adding the young talented quarterback, he's definitely a very dynamic quarterback as well, a true dual threat. It's actually a pretty interesting dynamic, right? So introducing Deshaun Watson, bringing him to the team. I'd say the identity for Cleveland has been, you know, run first team for very many years now. They invested in Joel Bettino and Wyatt Teller, Bill Callahan, who we're familiar with as your offensive line coach over there as well. How has he acclimated to the team? Has it been pretty seamless so far? Is there still kind of a rough transition, or are they kind of reverting more to passing now? Or what are you seeing with Deshaun now?
I think it's gone very well as far as that. And I think the thing was, is they just had a great individual in place in Jacoby Brissett. As much as guys in the locker room, players appreciated playing with Jacoby Brissett, everybody kind of knew the deal. And for Jacoby Brissett, this wasn't his first rodeo. when he finally got the job with the Colts, he wasn't supposed to have the job. You know, Andrew Luck, out of nowhere, quietly retires, steps away, and all of a sudden, you know, Jacoby Brissett's handed a job. And if the Colts had been had time, had the proper amount of time, Jacoby Brissett wouldn't have been their quarterback. But, you know, that's the way it worked out. But him coming in, no, the players spike all the time. You know, they understand the player that he is, the talent that he has. It's been a little slow coming out of the gate, which I think everybody should have expected, yeah, you know, over 700 days off. And the other thing is he didn't come back to his old team. It's one thing if you miss that amount of time and you're going right back into what you were always doing. It's new receivers. It's new offensive line. It's new play calls. It's new running backs. It's new coaching. There was so much newness for Deshaun. But as far as being there and now being entrenched, you know, the guys have him. The guys know that this is the best quarterback they've ever played. And a guy like Joel Batonio, he knows is the best talent. And as a guy who's a 9-year veteran, you know, he's getting closer to what could be his last shot. And if you're going to have to gamble, you know, Deshaun Watson's a pretty solid talent.
That makes sense. So I guess in retrospect, you know, people are very happy with that trade altogether. They're happy to have Deshaun Watson in Cleveland. Fair to say?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. It's, you know, he's the fans, understandably so. You know, it's like a tough pill to swallow. You understand you're getting this great player, this amazing talent. But the whole reason you're getting him is obviously you have bad luggage with it. But, you know, he's now there. The young guys love him. I mean, you know, younger players, Jeremiah Usu-Koromoa, guys are out with him all the time. You're starting to see, you know, him get in there. You know, and I think it was the big run against Baltimore that sealed the game, you know, where he broke the pack and got like 18 yards, slid, got the first down. And that was it, I think, for everybody. He was like, okay, yeah, we got our boy's home.
Very good. Let me give a shout out to Dave. He's in the chat. Dave said he was the only one in Commander Nation thinking we were going to win last week against the 49ers against a rookie QB. We definitely hung tight in the first half. It definitely, you know, got ahead of us in the second half. You know, Jeff, going back to this, right? So obviously the Cleveland Browns, you know, an up and coming team for many years, they seem to get a lot of talent going into Cleveland and always on the brink of breaking through and probably busting through the AFC North. How is Kevin Stefanski perceived in Cleveland? You know, he's obviously the offensive coordinator in Minnesota, is coming over to Cleveland. Has his offense translated well? Is he perceived pretty well in the locker room? How's it going?
Yeah, no, for Coach Stefanski, and I think a lot of people, and this just happens with the Cleveland Browns. You're just used to saying, all right, both the Browns aren't playing well. You know, what do you mean? They're going to keep their coach? Everybody just assumes the Cleveland Browns are going to fire everybody every single year. For Stefanski, and, you know, Deshaun Watson was vocal on this today. He shows a lot of faith. Coach Stefanski wants to do as far as, you know, what he's asking for him at the quarterback position. You know, it probably didn't help Coach Stefanski that, you know, in such a difficult season like 2020, his team hit the ground running like they did. No OTAs, no preseason. First time, you know, NFL head coach. And you go out and you ultimately win a playoff game. And, you know, you make it from, you know, a couple of seconds away from going to the AFC Championship game. I mean, you know, the Baker injury obviously thwarted the entire season. Weeks where, you know, the injury was really bothering him. And weeks where he did play well. Then became the static and the friction between Baker and the coaching staff. And then you get an owner involved and the owner starts to hear about, wow, there's really, really big names available at the quarterback position. And, you know, total of the quarterback you had, there were big names available. Wanted in. They wanted in on any of them. And, you know, Deshaun Watson, after several meetings, after several sitting down with Coach Stefanski, after the blessing, of course, because, you know, never giving $238 million guaranteed away without the blessing, certainly not having. So all those things come to pass. And now Coach Steph, look, there's going to be some changes here. There's going to be changes. And we're going to, you know, last week, you already started to see it with, you know, the Browns throwing the ball 31 times with negative 20-something degrees or however cold it was out there. But this is a team that's transitioning. You know, Nick Chubb, it's going to be different for him. It's going to be a lot more running out of the gun. That's not really, you know, what Nick Chubb has been comfortable with. But, you know, for what they think Deshaun can do with his arm, transitions are going to be made for the players. And you're going to do everything you can to get your quarterback in the best place to succeed because you believe, you know, as always, if the quarterback leads, everybody else follows.
100%. So you definitely have a long-term perspective of Cleveland. That definitely makes a lot of sense. I have two more questions, big picture, before we start diving into the game real quick. So I guess, you know, look at the schedule. You know, Cleveland, definitely a very talented team. There was a stretch at one point in the year where they lost 6 of 7. Now they're starting to kind of bounce back and play more 500 ball. What do you attest to that, you know, the little like I said, dip in the middle of the season? Was that more injury based or was it more lack of talent? I don't really know. I'm trying to ask you candidly, honestly.
The defense this year, and it's been mostly everybody to their man agrees that Jacoby Brissett probably played 10 times better than anybody had. We all just assume that the defense, which didn't have much changes, was going to continue their path. In the second half of 2021, they were a lights out defense. They were a fantastic group. We all had kind of had the feeling that this was going to transition here in the 2022 and week two against the Jets. There were other weeks, Bailey Zappi throw taking you, you know, behind the woodshed for 300 yards. The defense just never really found much rhythm, much sync. There were injuries, but I don't think it really changed much. They don't have much of the defensive tackle position. Linebackers now, their top four linebackers on their roster are out for the season on IR, have been on IR for a significant amount of time. Yeah, but you can't really complain because you're putting out players like Reggie Wrangler.
I saw that.
And Deion Jones. These are longtime NFL. They've played better over the last couple of weeks, starting to get a little bit more consistent. Obviously, it doesn't mean a hill of beans now with the Browns season over. But defensively has been the biggest issue. The Browns were in a lot of games. And, you know, once it was, you know, basically fighting with all they had with Jacoby Brissett, once they got behind, then it became, you know, a lot more difficult. The one thing we all talked about Jacoby Brissett this year was don't put him in a position where you're asking Jacoby Brissett to win the game. You have a running game. You have a strong offensive line. We thought we had what was a strong defense. All recipes to not basically put the ball in Jacoby Brissett's hand to have to go win games. So yeah, there were times he was asked to. But for the most part, you know, the biggest story for the Browns this year is that the defense underachieved great. 7 record by the time Deshaun Watson finally walked in the door. A lot of us, you know, we were thinking maybe 5-6, even 6-5. And defense sadly just, you know, it couldn't make stops, couldn't make tackles. You know, real, real poor season on that side of the ball, which is going to lead to a lot of changes on that side.
Yeah, it's really interesting. You know, from an outside third party perspective, you think the Cleveland Browns, you know, stacked defense. They have Myles Garrett, Jadeveon Clowney, Denzel Ward, you know, Grant Delpit, a lot of great talent over there. It's kind of surprising that they had a kind of a regressed season this year. Last big picture question. So I'm looking at some upcoming free agents for you guys. Jadeveon Clowney, Kareem Hunt, Jacoby Brissett, all free agents going into the offseason. Do you think they'll return to the team next year, or what do you think their future holds?
Jadeveon Clowney is a really tricky one. The Browns had him last year, paid him $8.5 million. He got 9.5 sacks. Jadeveon Clowney this year is making $14 million. He has 2 sacks. And you know, he was battling concussion, missed last week, was out of practice today with an illness. The problem with Jadeveon Clowney is everybody knows when he's on the field what you get. The problem is it's the crystal ball that nobody has, is how often is he on the field? So it's a really tough spot with Jadeveon Clowney. It's over. It's not that it was a great situation for the time he was here, but again, the Browns are now going to be a team that throws the ball more. You're not going to have to worry so much, you know, about having a second back. Kareem has lost a little juice in the legs. It's not there like past, you know, so all tough, you know, situations for this team to deal with. Jacoby Brissett, you know, looking at, you know, the way the NFL is working right now, looking at teams with situations, the New York Jets, things like this, you know, at the quarterback position, I think there's a home for Jacoby Brissett. Would I love for him to stay as a backup? Yeah, but, you know, at this point in Jacoby Brissett, you know, money's great. I want to play. You know what I'm saying? I want to put a little legacy out there for myself. So I think there's certainly homes for Jacoby Brissett to go out. And, you know, if anything, maybe, you know, be a beginning of the year starter, maybe while you're grooming a rookie, or if he plays well enough, you know, there are situations. I mean, you know, the New York Jets we love to trot out Jacoby Brissett this Sunday, as opposed to any of the other 4 quarterbacks they have on the roster. They probably
100%, would. I agree with that. 100% agree with that. So let's kind of dive into this week's matchup. You know, we have a pretty big matchup over here in D.C. Washington at 7-7-1. The Browns sitting there at 6-9. Washington won 5 of 6 going into December, have not won in December at all. We've had 1 tie and 2. I don't know why it says a loss right there, but we basically had 1 tie and 2 losses over last month. You guys are playing about 500 balls, so it's looking pretty solid right there. Other big picture information here. Let's look at the big old data over here. You know, the Cleveland Browns, offensive yards per game, 10th in the league, which is pretty impressive. I didn't really see that coming. Defense about 16th in the league, points per game, 21.5, which is pretty solid, pretty respectable right there. Offense, which I expected, Cleveland Browns, is, you know, offensive line is one of the best in the league. Nick Chubb is, in my opinion, one of the best running backs in the league. And then we see that rush defense and the pass defense over here. So it's going to be an interesting matchup. I think Washington can't overlook this game. It's going to be very competitive. I guess my question is this. So the rush defense is about 25th overall. The pass defense is 8th overall. Is that because of the defense is really truly shining on the pass defensive front? Or is it more like, I guess, more offenses running against Cleveland because they view it as a better strategy? What do you think?
Oh, it's definitely, you know, why do one if you don't have to, you know what I'm saying? You know, the teams have run the ball. The Chargers game, even when the Browns found a way to stay in late in the game, Austin Eckler was on a tear. I mean, they could, you know, there was, I think it was 240, could easily run for 300 yards that day. Mm-hmm. It just can't get it right. And the defensive tackle play, the problem is defensive tackles, it's not only that they're, you know, basically losing, not getting off their blockers, they're getting shoved back so far. They're disrupting, you know, the structure of the defense. They're disrupting the path of the linebackers. They're disrupting the angles for the safeties. That's how bad this has been at times who say, you know what, oh, we're first and 10. Let me just see if I can do something, anything to make a play, you know. So basically, you break protocol. You don't do exactly what you're called for. And you just build and then basically you leave your teammates out hanging. The Atlanta game was another one. The run defense that day was absolutely with the Browns. Didn't have Myles Garrett or Jadeveon Clowney. So you can imagine what a defensive line looked like that day. It's just been a real big struggle on that side of the ball. And, you know, Joe Woods here for 3 years now with the Browns, the defensive coordinator, 2020, didn't have a lot of names, didn't have a lot of talent, but the defense 2021 closed out extremely strong. 22, everyone thought the story was going to be a lights out defense season, and that's not been the case. And it's going to lead to changes. You know, there's going to be changes. January 9th, Black coming, there's going to be a lot of guys exiting out of the doors of Berea. Coach Stefanski's, you know, basically, I think he's probably going to start 2023 on a warmer seat. He's going to have to go out and make some serious hires for that side of the ball.
Interesting. I didn't realize he had such a hot seat. So real quick, let me look at some two questions in the chat real quick. For one, I want to say hi to my guy, Scott Hartley. He's all the way from the UK dialing in, watching our live stream. Thank you, Scott, for dialing in. I know Jeff appreciates that as well. And then Dave has a question for you, Jeff. He says, I'm worried about Watson as he is a great talent. Does he have the weapons to win consistently? Do you think Cleveland has a well-rounded arsenal to kind of, you know, support and, you know, for Watson to distribute the ball?
Well, my first response to that would be, who were his weapons in Houston? Yeah. Not really much, you know what I'm saying? Amari Cooper, 1,000-yard season this year. Donovan Peoples-Jones, with two games to go, is 216 yards away from 1,000 yards in his third season. David Njoku has been everything that the Browns could have asked for. The Browns gave him a contract extension. The overall value of the contract was extremely high. A lot of people around the league, a lot of people around Cleveland, even, what are you doing? They've really, really thought it was a number that they just weren't comfortable with. But David Njoku, you know, he's a very, very successful, gets spoken enough about him. And just a really, really athletic guy who continues to find, you know, his groove here as a tight end. With Deshaun Watson and ability with his legs, his ability to roll out. You're starting to see now where the threat is there because you can faking a handoff left to Nick Chubb. You're spinning your quarterback around. So now that you've put all the emphasis on Nick Chubb, there's David Njoku trickling out. Once he's got the ball in his hands, he's got all the athletic ability in the world, obviously. We see him jumping over people. We see him run away people. We see him run through people. The talent is there. Are they, you know, are they done? No, obviously no. I mean, you probably want to find some sort of ideal slot receiver. They're playing rookie David Bell right now in that situation. It's not going so great just yet. But again, you've got to understand that for some of these guys, they have to understand, you know, they're working in here. You know, for a rookie who maybe played a little bit with Jacoby Brissett, now the game has basically stepped up a ton and you're playing with a guy like Deshaun Watson.
Yeah.
You know, just need some, you know, more, you know, continuance here with guys getting work with Deshaun Watson. You know, they've all talked about it. They've all said the correct things, that there's going to be a lot of emphasis put in their own off seasons of finding times to get together with each other and you know, working and getting more familiar, more acclimated with each other. These are all things that are, you know, going to need to be done here as, you know, we start to get closer to what should be 22-3, you know, through hopefully a 3-4 run rounds where, you know, just a ton of talent. Just got to make sure you find a way that it all comes together. Talent's one thing. Coaching's one thing. You know, if it doesn't mesh together, none of it means anything.
Yeah, 100%. It seems like Cleveland has a nice little tight nucleus, all about the same age, about 27 years old, on the rise. So I do like that right there. How good has Amari Cooper been? Huh? It's been a pretty good acquisition for you guys, and you got him for pretty cheap. What was the trade acquisition for Cooper? I forget the whole
basically what it was with Amari is Dallas was on the hook for about $18 million. Mm-hmm. They didn't want to pay it. They felt he wasn't worth the $18 million. So what's your first rationale before you release somebody? You see if somebody's interested. Brown gave up a fifth round pick.
Mm-hmm.
You do it all day long and do it twice on Sunday. Mm-hmm. And the greatest thing about Amari Cooper is for the struggles the Browns went through here with basically loud wide receivers, very social media present wide receivers, guys who let you know when they were disgruntled. Amari Cooper is nothing like that. Amari Cooper comes in, gets asked his three or four questions, stock answers. Amari Cooper is very similar to Nick Chubb in a personality-wise. Just comes in, does his business, does what is required of him by the media. You're not getting anything flashy. I missed that one. Yeah, got to be better next time. It's about the extent of what you get from a guy like Amari Cooper. And I think it was really, for the Browns, that was key because we went through so much turmoil with two invocal wide receivers. And then when you weren't successful, obviously things got hairy. That would have been the case again this year, unless you have guys say, hey, look, my job and my job only is to go out there and do my job. I don't have to care about this. If I got 11 targets this week, if I only get three next week, it is what it is. And I think the Browns really, really needed that breath of fresh air within that locker room.
100%. Yeah, Jeff, I can definitely attest for that as well. Being in Washington with kind of a, renowned for being a toxic climate, not necessarily mature players. We're starting to get that here in D.C., and I think our team is starting to turn around because of that. So I'm not surprised by that at all. I want to give a shout out to Yam. He actually is one of our listeners from Japan. So actually, thank you for dialing in. He says, morning, gentlemen. So thank you for that. I appreciate that. All right. So let's dive into a little bit deeper. So I was going to pull this up really quickly. This is the tail of the tape in regard to the quarterback matchups right here. Jeff, be honest with me, man. We're having a good conversation. I love just talking to shop. When Carson Wentz steps on the field for you guys, what are your first thoughts when you think of that in Cleveland? Are you guys even intimidated at all? Are you guys like, here we go again? Like, what are you guys thinking about with Carson Wentz?
I just thought maybe the timing of it is weird. I mean, I think he put Carson in basically a tough spot here because if he doesn't win, everybody, because the problem is you got the 50-50 factor here. If he doesn't win, everybody just say, well, why did you pull Taylor? Mm-hmm. And huge, huge loved figure. I know, I've got obviously talked about the week. They mentioned yesterday it was a difficult day when the announcement came down because Tyler Heinicke, with his work ethic, with his attitude, is just really won over his teammates. But in the same respect, if you're talking about, trying to win two games in a two-game stretch here to get yourself to the playoffs, Carson Wentz a few years ago was, about to be the NFL MVP. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's a tough spot for Washington to be in to have to even make this decision. For the Browns, last time we saw Carson Wentz was in 2020. He came in with the Eagles, and it's crazy to think that, here it is in 2020. He was an Eagle, 21 a Colt. Now, obviously a commander here in 2020. He's got an arm. He throws better. I mean, it's going to really be a great matchup between the three wide receivers from Washington, the Browns shelf cornerbacks, all solid players. We'll see. The other thing is, Carson has also been known to hold on to the ball too. Makes you wonder, how much of a factor Myles Garrett could be. But I think maybe it makes it just a tad bit easier. It's not a knock on anything. It's just that Heinicke's more of a wild. I know more of what Carson Wentz is. Tyler Heinicke is basically just a really, really guy who is a football player who plays the quarterback position. Whereas Carson Wentz, you're a little bit more familiar. But then again, the Browns physically, they have to go off what they saw of him to the mind. That was two teams ago, two offensive systems ago.
Yeah, realistically, I think the way to beat Carson Wentz is to pressure him, and we'll see if Myles Garrett can do that and Jadeveon Clowney can do that as well. I think Washington's willing to roll the dice. They traded away 2 third-round picks to get Carson Wentz and kind of put him – they invested heavily in him. Ron Rivera, Scott Turner kind of felt that Taylor Heinicke basically limited their offense and distributing the ball across all parts of the field. And with our offensive talent, our wide receivers, we do have, Jahan Dotson, if it wasn't for Garrett Wilson and some of these other guys, he might be in contention for rookie of the year as our slot wide receiver. So we have the talent. However, like this Carson Wentz, Taylor Heinicke has limited our points per game, especially over the last month. So I think there's higher upside with Carson Wentz, but then again, there's also a lower floor. So I am kind of worried about that. Before we transition to defense, I guess any last touching on the Cleveland offense one more time. They look pretty solid across the board. I'd say their offensive line is a strength. David Njoku is six-rated tight end, according to PFF. Amari Cooper's having a great year. Is there anybody that's kind of under the radar that we should, that you know, Commanders fans will keep an eye on this week? That you appreciate, Jeff?
I think Don here was a guy who came, you know, as a sixth round pick out of Michigan. Michigan, the offense there never really did him any, you know, justice. Mm-hmm. You know, rookie year played some, obviously, with Jarvis, with Odell Beckham Jr. going down in the middle of the season. The talk of 2021 camp was about how improved Donovan Peoples-Jones was. We saw Odell Beckham Jr. We saw Jarvis Landry. Donovan was kind of. And this year, the same talk was Donovan Peoples-Jones. Donovan Peoples-Jones. And this year, he's all together, you know, to this point. So 784 yards receiving, you know, a couple touchdowns. For a touchdown against Houston, here's a guy that's really finding his stride. He appears to maybe have the best point with Deshaun Watson. I think, you know, Deshaun's maybe the vertical throws maybe now, the crossers over the middle where you're going between linebackers, safeties. You know, you got to find that hole between a defensive lineman who's got his hands up. That's been a little bit more difficult for Deshaun and Amari to get on the same page there. I don't anticipate any problems, but Donovan Peoples-Jones, for the Browns, he would be the guy you would talk about this year. This guy really, really took a major, major stride. And, you know, for a former sixth-round pick, and we weren't really ever sure how much he was good. Now, you know, we're to the point now where conversations are being had about Donovan Peoples-Jones as far as, you know, being a long-term player here with the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah, I've actually heard about him more on the national level, too, so it's good to hear. It's awesome. So let's kind of pivot real quick. Let's go over to the defense. You know, I think it's interesting. Like, going into the game, I would say that Cleveland's defense would be the more – intimidating of the pairing, but it sounds like you were saying the defense is more of like the concern of the two, which is interesting. So let's look at this real quick. So looking over here, obviously Myles Garrett's a standout. He's number one rated edge according to PFF. Clowney's pretty solid as well. Reggie Ragland at a 91.6 rating, but he hasn't been playing much. What were we saying about that? He was injured, or he just was he out?
Reggie Ragland was spent most of the season on the Las Vegas Raiders practice squad. Gotcha. Browns were just down so much. Last week was his second game in action. And, you know, this is kind of the story of Reggie Ragland, and this is where it's tough to be a linebacker in the NFL today. You know, if you can play the run, that's great. You're not going to be on the field very much. But in a game where the temperatures were as cold as they were, the wind was a factor, you know, a lot of running of the football, Reggie Ragland, it was a game suited perfectly for him. He'll play a ton this week, but, you know, you probably see more at Deion Jones, you know, especially with Carson Wentz, probably, you know, basically maybe Washington tipping their hand that they're going to want to throw the football here a little bit more. True. So, you know, Deion Jones there. But, you know, safety-wise, John Johnson III, the last couple of weeks have been good. Grant Delpit has been, you know, I think has been pretty solid all season. The cornerbacks, whether it's Emerson, whether it's Ward, whether it's Greg Newsom, these guys have been all solid all year. Just every now and then a gaff happens or a big play or a busted coverage or whatever. It's kind of turned things the wrong way. But for the most part, you know, a lot of players on that defense. But the problem is basically those defensive tackles – and getting the linebacker room right has been the biggest issue for this team this year.
Gotcha. I guess quick question, because, you know, Denzel Ward, you know, from an outside perspective has been renowned. He's that, you know, the top 10 pick, and he's kind of a franchise player. He's getting a pretty rough grade here in PFF. Is that fair to say? Is he having a bad season, or are they kind of grading wrong? What are you seeing?
I would say his first 5 or 6 weeks were not good. So, okay. You know, in the way, if anybody knows the way PFF works, obviously there is no curve. So, man, you go out there and you throw at a 31 1 week. You know, that's going to haunt your overall grade for probably pretty much most of the season. You know, always a little missed time with Denzel Ward, you know, just a little bit of a smaller statured player always ends up, you know, missing time. But I think that's why the Browns invested in the room like they did. Their first pick of the 2021 draft was a cornerback. Their first pick of the 2022 draft was a cornerback. Mm-hmm. And I think that they felt for them, the way they were trying to, you know, basically, you know, architecture their franchise is planning on, we are going to be a team that's be ahead. So what are we going to need? We're going to need Panther guys.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. Interesting. So I guess you're saying the weak part of the Cleveland's defense would probably be the interior defensive tackles, right?
Right up the gut.
All right. Then last one before we move on to predictions and kind of overall big picture. So are there any key players to keep an eye out on defense for Cleveland besides Ragland, I guess?
The question would be, you know, what's going to happen at defensive end? You know, Clowney, you know, didn't play last week with a concussion. I don't know if they didn't play him because the concussion was still there, and say, well, go pound your head on the ice 20 times today because the field's frozen. You know, so I don't know if it was that he wasn't cleared yet or it was just, hey, you know, this is stupid to put him out there. So then the question comes in after that. Rookie Alex Wright has looked better over the last couple of weeks. Rookie Perrion Winfrey on the interior has started to look better over the last couple of weeks. These guys were kind of, you know, things were coming out of a million miles an hour early in the season. Seems like it's starting to slow down a little bit. But if you're going to see anybody besides Miles Garrett or Jadeveon Clowney make a play from the defensive line, odds are pretty good. It's going to be Alex Wright or it's going to be Perrion Winfrey.
Gotcha. And I guess the last question over here, look at the injury report. Jack Conklin didn't practice, Klein didn't practice, Felton, Jedrick Willis. Are there anyone that you're concerned about that isn't going to play this week?
Only one that probably slightly concerns me is Jedrick Willis, because this is something new.
Okay.
Everything else, you know, Jack Conklin and the Browns are just taking it easy. Last thing the Browns want to do is knowing with what Jack Conklin went through last year to get back here, and now that they have re-signed him, is to want to put Jack Conklin on a path where, you know, there's going to be any possibility of him having to do any type of rehab off the offseason. But Jedrick Wills, this is new. You know, this wasn't anything that's been, you know, dealt with earlier in the year. And now that it's two practices, and we'll see, because most of the time, if you're a Cleveland Brown, you do not practice on Friday, you don't play. The Browns very rarely give that veteran luxury of you don't have to practice on Friday, but they will still pencil you in on Sunday, especially. And it's considering the fact that, you know, the Browns essentially don't have much to play for.
Yeah, that's true. I guess let's touch on that, kind of bring it on home, right? So game prediction. So I guess two questions for you. The first question is, what needs to be like the ideal situation, like optimal game plan for Cleveland to win? And then do you think there's going to be any kind of like drop off because Cleveland has nothing to play for? Or do you think they're going to play hard going into this last game? What do you think?
The Cleveland Browns need to get ahead. It's just that simple. They're not a team that plays well from behind. What they are good at on the defensive side of the ball is coverage and pass rush. You know, so that's all keys to getting ahead. And obviously, it even goes more to this factor. As we know, Carson Wentz has always been able to hold on to the ball a second too long. Ends up taking sacks he shouldn't have taken. Just works and is part of it there. Mostly on the offensive side of the ball is I don't know if the Browns are going to play this to say, you know what I'm saying, or we'll slow the game down, we'll run the ball. I think they ideally probably get Deshaun Watson another 75 before this season is over. They get as much tape down as possible as Deshaun Watson so they can go into this offseason, dissect it, see what they like, take stuff out of the playbook, put stuff in the playbook, and start identifying will be matches with Deshaun Watson long term. So, you know, for the Browns, the key to this is it's just the style that they play. It's paramount that they get the lead early because then they can play the game the way they want to play it as opposed to playing styles that they are not comfortable with.
Gotcha. And I guess they have that long-term perspective too, because I was going to ask about draft position, but they gave away the first round pick for Deshaun Watson, right? So they don't really have any incentive to kind of slow down or anything there. So I got you. Nope. It makes sense. I think the whole throwing the ball around would probably make a lot of sense. Very good. I guess, do you have any questions for me before we bring it on home?
Watch perspective? I don't think. I mean, you know, we got the biggest, you know, the Carson Wentz one was the one that basically threw everybody for loop here this week. You know, I'm kind of this team, the Washington defense. I just love the fact that you can talk about your two interior defensive tackles have combined 15 with Montez Sweat. You're working Chase Young back in. I tried to tell everybody during the spring about fifth round pick, turned out to be an absolute darling of a selection for the Washington Commanders. You know, I did think it was funny today. I don't believe it, you know, that, oh, they're hoping things work out here for Carson Wentz. And then, you know, they wouldn't be addressing quarterback in the offseason. Look, we can all say those things. We don't necessarily have to go to speak here. But it certainly, you know, make for, you know, a pretty solid matchup here, I think, on Sunday.
No, I definitely agree with that. So, yeah, Derek Forrest is definitely an Ohio native, an Ohio. People love him out there, so I love to see him shine. That came out of nowhere. Like, definitely for Washington, I was definitely interested in a strong safety like Jacoby Brisker from Penn State. I wanted him in the second round, and basically we got, you know, defensive tackle, and I guess they saw Derek Forrest in training camp and kind of believed in him long-term, so definitely a big one there for sure. Are you willing to do a prediction? What do you think is going to win on Sunday?
This is where it's tough, you know, because, you know, you don't know how to factor in if anything, because he goes wrong. You know, Nick Chubb, you know, his foot's not 100%, but he said he's going to play. I'm sure the Browns are going to limit his carries. They're not going to go out there. If he got more than 15 carries, I'd be stunned. But I think Deshaun Watson's got one in him this year. I think he's got one game in him this year. So is it this week? And could it be this week in the fact that they're going to go play a game that's going to be about a 75-degree temperature change? Difference 100%. Between the last time the Browns played Saturday at home, down that way on Sunday. I think this is going to be the week where maybe you get Deshaun's big one. And if you're telling me it's a Deshaun Watson, Carson Wentz
basically
battle, money on Deshaun on that one.
That's true. All right, I want to give a shout out to my guy, my cousin Terry in the chat. What's up, Terry? How you doing, bro? Good to see you. All right, Jeff, we're going to wrap it up. So I really appreciate you coming on and giving me your time. Before we log off, is there anything? Well, first of all, can you kind of plug your socials, where they can find you on social media, what kind of products you're working on, and kind of bring it on home with that?
Obviously, I'm part of the Locked On Podcast Network. We host the Locked On Browns podcast, myself and Garrett Bush. He's also part of the Ultimate Cleveland Sports Show, which is done through Tegna, who also is part of network. So it's been a big year for us. You know, the key to that is, you know, with Tegna is, do they have media buildings within the city you cover? For us, luckily, yes, they do. They have a television station in Cleveland. So it's helped us obviously with the growth of our show here tremendously. They've been nothing but, you know, aces to us. You know, we'll start to transition here, you know, to more free agency. Obviously, you know, we're going to have, you know, a bunch of coaching fill here for the Browns. So that's going to cover us here. In addition to the daily show, I'm going to start doing, you know, I'm going to throw together some 2 to 3 minute shorts here covering, you know, possible free agents, covering possible, you know, draft picks, all that type of stuff. It just, you know, fun gig here. You know, obviously, you know, in January, I'd be loving to cover more football, but you basically play the at Jeff_LJ_Lloyd. The show itself, whether it's YouTube, whether it is, of course, on your favorite podcast platform, and even for Locked On Cleveland Sports, you will find the Locked On Browns podcast, Locked On Card, Locked On Guardians, Cavs, the Ultimate Cleveland Sports Show. So, you know, been a hell of a season here. You know, always looking for the best, and just, you know, continue to just try to put our stamp on, you know, average weekend.
100%. And guys, I vouch for all the Locked On podcasts for sure. All season long, I've been reaching out to Locked On Titans, Locked On Browns. So they're fantastic. Jeff's been really responsive and been on top of everything there. So I definitely appreciate that. All right, guys, have a great night. I'm George Carmi from Full Press Coverage. You guys can find me at GCarmi21. Have a great evening. Enjoy your night. Peace out.